You are listening to a divine service.
Or a lecture.
Or a sermon.
Or a performance.
Or a podcast.
Or something else.
From St. Vladimir Orthodox Church.
Join us soon in person.
Just Google St. Vladimir Ann Arbor.
On our website, you will find our full schedule of services.
And a lot more.
Find us on Facebook.
Or on Vkontakte. Yeah.
Or follow us on Twitter.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
But most importantly,
please know that you are always welcome at St. Vladimir's.
Enjoy this audio presentation of St. Vladimir's Church, and please join us in person soon.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we come to the church and we hear an interesting gospel. Now, there are several ways that we can approach this gospel. We can read it ahead of time and figure out exactly how to pronounce all of those Babylonian names and see, does the deacon do a good job or does he make mistakes? This is probably not the way that we should approach this gospel. Another way is just to endure it, understanding that once in the year we have to hear this gospel, and that if we are very diligent, we could think of very many other things while the genealogy of Christ is being read. However, as you may imagine, this genealogy from Matthew is put here on this Sunday before the Nativity of the Lord for a very specific reason. So the first question that I think everyone should ask, and I hope that they did, is why do we read the genealogy through Joseph? Joseph has no part really in Christ except as kind of as like a stepfather. But he is not his father, so why is the genealogy through Joseph? I know everybody asked that question, so I'm just asking it again. So the answer is that this is what the Jews expected. Genealogy went through the father. And so we have to remember, this is Matthew. He wrote in Hebrew. He wrote for these people, for these Hebrew people. And so he begins his genealogy very interestingly. Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, you may not be someone who has a great grasp of the Old Testament, but you probably know that Abraham came before David. I hope you did. If not, pretend that you did. And now you know. So why do they start with David if Abraham came thousands of years before? We have to understand the situation there in the Holy Land at that time. Matthew was writing for people who were very proud about their genealogy, about who came before them. And they were very, very proud that David was their king and that they were all children of Abraham. Now, they were also believers. And so this was very important to them, not just from a pride point of view, but also from a spiritual point of view. They knew that the Christ, that the Messiah, that the Anointed One, had to come through David. Right? So this gospel serves many sort of lessons for Matthew as the writer of the gospel. Now, it ends with the Nativity gospel, which I think is so nice. It's so nice to leave here with those beautiful words still ringing in our ears, but with the firm intention to return on Nativity. Not to say, well, you know, we're good, heard it, I'm done. No, we still have a long way to go between now and the birth of the Lord. But the Holy Church gives us this sort of consolation, this strength, this something special on this Sunday before the Nativity. Now, since everyone was asking, why did the genealogy go through Joseph? You are probably also asking, why are there women in there? Because if the genealogy was through Joseph, why would there be women mentioned? Now, clearly, there are many women in the genealogy of Christ. And in order to prepare the world, in order to explain to the Jews that this was really the son of Jesus Christ, this genealogy was really required. But why the women? And why these women? Because this is not just like, before we even talk about the women, let's talk about everyone here. This is not a sort of a list of all righteous people here. We don't really know Rehoboam and Jeroboam and Manasseh. We don't know those people. And that's too bad. We should. But the fact of the matter is that some of those people that are mentioned there are really saints. And some of those people that are mentioned there are really sinners. And the women who are mentioned there are all kind of characters that maybe we wouldn't say, this is the person that we should emulate. We have there Tamar, right? She's a fornicator. Then we have Rahab. She's a harlot. Then we have Ruth, and she's a foreigner. And for the Jews, that was a big deal. She wasn't a Jew. So she's also kind of in the bad category. And then we have Bathsheba, who is not even mentioned by name, right? The Urias' wife. And that's such a loaded term, if you know the history of the Old Testament, how David sent Urias out to die and then took his wife. Even David himself. But let's just concentrate on the women. Why are they mentioned there? Those women who were not the most upstanding citizens of the Old Testament, let's just say. Ruth, I would say, she's only mentioned there because she's a foreigner. I think we can honestly say that. And because the Jews, remember, this gospel is for the Jews, written in Hebrew. It's supposed to drive home this point to them that the genealogy of Christ is not just filled with righteous people, and that they should not be so proud about the people that they call their ancestors. Furthermore, we, brothers and sisters, we who live now, who have the Messiah who comes to us every year, we live with him, we walk with him. We say that we want to be transformed, to be transfigured, to become the children of God. If that's true, then this is our genealogy too. And so not should just those Jews who were reading this and hearing this be not proud about it, neither should we. And I think we have to look even a little bit further. Because it's very easy for us to say, yes, those bad Jews, you know, they were proud about this, and they were this, and they were this. That's not the point. I mean, that is kind of a point that Matthew is saying, be humble. But how often are we quick to judge our brother? And especially if somebody comes from maybe not the most regular marital circumstances. Let's just leave it that way, right? And how often we are like, oh, you know, this person, and, you know, that person's grandfather was this and that, and, you know, St. John Chrysostom says very specifically about this gospel, we stand on our own virtue. Who came before us, it's not for our good, it's not for our bad. We are here, and we are to stand on our own virtue. And furthermore, not only will we be judged based on our life, not on the life of our parents or the life of our, well, in the life of our children, I suppose, in some way, because we prepare them for this life, but not the life of our parents. But furthermore, the teaching of the church is that we can even help those who have died before through our prayers, through doing good deeds in their names. So not only do we not stand on our parents' righteousness, but on our own, but we can also help them. So brothers and sisters, what does this all mean to us in the light of the forthcoming birth of our Lord? We too need to be prepared for the birth of God. The incarnation of the Son of God is one of the most significant things that has happened in the entire history of the world. Please do not lose track of the fact that by this time, the Romans had consolidated power in the known, mostly the known world. And they had a practice of any person, any people that they conquered, then they would establish a temple in Rome of the gods that those people worshipped. And so by now, there was a huge avenue filled with pagan temples of all different gods. Maybe the people then weren't the sharpest people. Maybe they were really rough people, but they weren't stupid. When they went to Rome and you saw there hundreds of temples to all these different pagan gods, they knew very well that this was complete garbage. They knew it. And, in fact, we can read in the Chronicles that suicide increased dramatically at this time in the Roman world. Why? Because the people had fallen into disillusion. They believed that there was either no God or there had to be one God. And there were these one people that they conquered, the Hebrew people, that said, God will come to earth and he will straighten all of this garbage out. That's not exactly what they said, but I'm paraphrasing. And people begin to hear about the one true God. And the world is prepared for his incarnation. You see, brothers and sisters, this is why Christianity spread like wildfire. I mean, yes, of course. God was guiding. The Holy Spirit was strengthening. But the world had already been prepared. They knew that this Hebrew God was going to come. And that they hoped that he would straighten everything out. We have a great hope, brothers and sisters, when we experience the incarnation of our Lord. When we see this genealogy of his forebears and ours as his children, that they also needed a spiritual hospital, just as we do. And that we should not despise those who come to the spiritual hospital. That we should not think that our sickness is some kind of a righteous sickness, but the other sickness that this person has, this is a bad sickness. That's a sickness even of itself to think that. We are all here, brothers and sisters, seeking healing in the spiritual hospital which the Lord established. Let us remember these people who are listed in the genealogy of our Lord. Let us remember their foibles, their sins, their transgressions. Yes, there are many righteous among them, but there are some that are not. And let us understand that there is a place here for all, whether they are outwardly righteous or outwardly sinners, because inwardly we're all sinners. We have to be quite honest about that. That whoever comes to the hospital should be greeted with open arms. That whoever comes to the hospital should be offered healing. That whoever comes to the hospital should be treated as a brother, as a sister, as an ancestor, as someone who, just like us, is a sinner. And if we can walk away from the church today with that attitude, understanding that we come here seeking healing, and our brothers and sisters who are here are seeking healing also, and that we need to help them, then, brothers and sisters, today is not just that day where we hear all of the interesting names, we sort of track the Babylonian names after they were in Babylon for a while, but today is a day when this list, these forebearers of Christ, bring us closer to him. Where we are not only closer to him, but we are ushering others closer to him as well. As we all begin and prepare to gather around that manger, may the Lord grant this to all of us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio production of St. Vladimir Orthodox Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Please join us in person soon. To learn more about our parish, please visit our website, stva2.org. That's S as in Sam, T as in Tom, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, the number 2.org. See you soon at St. Vladimir's.